Please turn with me to Colossians and chapter 1. These verses in Colossians seem to boom out with the volume turned up to maximum, the message, Jesus is Lord. And we see in these verses that Jesus is Lord of creation in verses 15 to 17. And he is Lord of reconciliation, verses 18 through to 20. And this evening I'd like to share with you verses 15 to 17 as we consider that Jesus is Lord over his creation. And it's almost as if these verses take us by the shoulders. They give us a good shake and they shout in our face, Jesus is Lord over his creation. And these verses tell us three key things. Firstly, the Lord Jesus Christ is our creator. Look at verse 16. For by him all things were created. Then secondly, we see that he is the goal of his creation. Verse 16b. All things were created by him and for him. Notice that, secondly. And then thirdly, this passage tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the sustainer of his creation. Verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So we have creator, goal, sustainer. Now, let's try and remember those this evening. So by the end of the service, hopefully you'll have this lodged in your brain. Perhaps say with me those three things together three times, okay? And we'll do it after the service, our sermon, and you'll remember them. So we've got creator, goal, sustainer. Let's say that three times together. Creator, goal, sustainer. Creator, goal, sustainer. Creator, goal, sustainer. Okay. Well, let's get into the passage then. Do you know this well-known song? I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The bright, blessed days and the dark, sacred nights. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright, blessed days and the dark, sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colours of the rainbow are so pretty in the sky. It's also on the faces of the people going by. I see friends shaking hands saying, how do you do? Fairies saying, I love you. I hear babies cry and I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. It's a great feel-good song, isn't it? By Louis Armstrong. And here is this man. And he acknowledges that there's something quite amazing about the world in which we live. Even those who are atheists and do not believe in a creator God can look at our world and be totally taken aback and awestruck by its complexity and its beauty and its intricacy. I think there's something inside each and every one of us that acknowledges that fact. But you know, Louis Armstrong is only half right. He says, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. He needs to see the big picture. The big picture is this. The Bible says, what a wonderful God. The Lord Jesus Christ, our great creator. And so that brings us to our first point, verse 16. For by him all things were created. So Christ, the Lord Jesus, is our creator, our first heading. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, made all things. By him all things were created, our verse says. And then we see in verse 16 that Christ made things in heaven. In the heavens. He made things in the heavens, the many galaxies and the solar systems in our universe. He created the Milky Way, that is 621,000 million million light years across. He made the planets. He made the sun with a surface temperature of 6,000 degrees centigrade. It loses 4 million tons of mass every second, but has enough fuel to last 5,000 million years. He made the moon. He made the asteroids. He made the billions of stars. He made the speck of dust in the outermost eddy of the universe. He created them by the power of his word. By him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were created. He made the heavens. And then verse 16 says, Christ made the earth, things in heaven and on earth. From that microscopic zooplankton in the ocean to the largest mammal on earth, the blue whale, 180 tons, that feeds on those microscopic things, they were made by the Lord Jesus Christ. He created the breathtaking mountains, the beautiful flowers, colour, flavoursome food, sweet smells, animals, birds and reptiles. He created the powerful elephant through to that virus under the electron microscope. He created you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You know, we are beautifully and wonderfully made in his image. Every fetus is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. He made them. He is our great creator. He gave us our emotions of love and happiness and peace and joy and pleasure. He, the Lord Jesus, made the earth. He made the heavens. He made the earth. And you know, Christ created the laws by which nature operates. Energy, matter, time, speed of light, magnetism, gravity, sound, weather patterns. Cyclones, hurricanes, tsunamis, destructive volcanoes all belong to him. Christ made all things in heaven and on earth visible and invisible. You know, the psalmist seems to grasp something of the totality of Christ's creative power by saying in Psalm 95 verse 4, in his hands are the depths of the earth and the mountain peaks belong to him. The lowest point on earth, whether it's the Dead Sea or deep in an ocean trench through to Mount Everest, they belong to Christ. Verse 5, the sea is his. For he made it, and his hands formed the dry ground, solid liquid made by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 16 says that the Lord Jesus created the invisible realm, all ranks of angels and spiritual powers, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. You know, from the highest to the very lowest in the supernatural realm, whether good or bad, fallen or unfallen, all were created by him and for him, the Lord Jesus. You know, the devil and the demons, before they fell, were created by Christ for his glory. Christ rules over them. Christ will never be usurped. He will never be overthrown. He is their creator. He is their judge. He is their disposer. Such is his great power over the invisible realm. Let's just think about that for the moment. We do seem to live in an age that is obsessed with the spiritual. We have the occult, and New Age. We've got a tremendous interest in the supernatural out there. And behind much of this is satanic and demonic influence. Perhaps you're afraid of that, and maybe rightly so. But I want us to know this evening that the spirit world is under the dominion and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? At the end times, Christ will throw the devil and his angels into the lake of burning sulfur, where they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. We read that in Revelation. Jesus Christ is Lord over the invisible spiritual realm. Do not be afraid. Trust in him. So, my friends, the headline news in our passage this evening reads this: by him all things were created. The Lord Jesus is the great uncreated creator. He is the Father's agent in creation. John chapter 1 verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. When we think of the world in which we live and creation itself, we need to be reminded of a great truth, and that is that the Lord Jesus created, and the theologians express it as this, ex nihilo, out of nothing. We make things out of existing material. So you ladies who bake a cake will take milk and flour and eggs and sugar and various other ingredients and mix them together, put it in the oven, and out pops a cake. You're using existing materials that are already created to make something. You fellas, think about the car. A car is a wonderful invention, but we're just using existing material to make something. Glass, metal, rubber, and various other plastic components which themselves have been synthesized. We bring things together to make stuff. But the Lord Jesus made his universe out of absolutely nothing. There were no building blocks for him to work with. He spoke, and it came into being. You know, we accept this by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Therefore, as we look at the universe by faith, we see a great divide, and there are two things in the universe. Things in the universe fall into two pots, if you wish. Things are either God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or they are something created. A great divide. If it's not created, it's God. And if it's not God, it's something created. The greatness of our God. So the Lord Jesus is the great, almighty, all-glorious creator. He is the author of everything. So, stringing together verses of scripture, he waters the land. He drenches the furrows. He makes the clouds rise. He thunders. He makes it snow or rain. He sends a frost in the ice and then melts them with his word. He sends prosperity and sends calamity. Our heavenly Father makes the sun rise and sends rain. He feeds the birds. He clothes the grass of the field. He calms the raging sea. He drives out demons. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. And even the number of hairs on your head are numbered. Christ is the great creator, supreme, preeminent in all of his creation. We see that in verse 18. So, firstly, Christ is our great creator. Secondly, verse 16b, he is the goal of his creations. Verse 16b, All things were created by him and for him, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? As our Creator, Christ has ownership and authority over the world that he has made, including us. The furthest star in the universe, that speck of dust, planet Earth, the blue whale, the virus under the microscope, the food that you eat, the soul that you possess, are created by him, for him. And so therefore, he is the goal of his creation. When you look at the passage, did you notice the repetition of all things? Look with me, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things. Verse 16b, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And as you go down, it's repeated, at least on another two occasions. Whatever you care to think about in this room, the chairs, the building, the clothes that you wear, the person that you are, were made by him and for him. You know, the Lord Jesus is the supreme explanation of the universe in which we live. He is the A to Z. He is the start and the finish. He is the beginning and the end of all things. He is the goal and the purpose of the world in which we live. Perhaps this evening you're here thinking to yourself, it's my body, it's my life, I can do what I want with it. I belong to myself. Well, the Bible says that is not true. The Lord Jesus Christ made you, and he made you for himself. And so in this sense, you belong to him. You are his property. He is your creator. You are his creature. And since you belong to him, he can make rules about what you can and you cannot do. Now, there may be some folk here tonight who have had the terrible first-hand experience of having your house burgled. I would imagine that it's the most awful thing to occur, that a stranger has violated your private property. They've raided your personal possessions. I would feel angry. I would feel upset. I would feel perhaps violated. They've been through the possessions that are most dear to me. And you would want your possessions back, and you want the perpetrators caught and them punished, understandably so. But friends, if we're not living for the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have stolen what rightfully belongs to him. All things were created by him and for him. He gave you your mind. He gave you your body, your physical strength, your character, your creativity, your gifts, your abilities, your friends, your family, your wealth, your home, your circumstances. They all belong to him, Jesus Christ. How must he feel if we have robbed him of these precious possessions, squandered them and not used them for his glory? You may have squandered his gifts. Perhaps you have denied his lordship. Maybe you just simply haven't heard of these truths before. But he loves you. He loves you and he desires to welcome you with open arms and forgive you of your sins. Being alienated from the Lord Jesus means being alienated from all that you were created to be and to do. You are precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever considered that our world was created by his spoken word in 6 days. And yet, to bring us salvation, it took our Creator God incarnation and 33 years of life and death on a cross to bring us salvation. That is amazing. He loves you. You are precious to him. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You are made by him and for him. He wants you back. Well, if you haven't been living under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, please turn from your selfish ways. Please ask him for his forgiveness and confess him to be Lord of all. But maybe tonight many of us are Christians. And if I am a Christian tonight, is the Lord Jesus Lord over every aspect of my life? It's an important question to ask. We were looking at the need to love God. Do we love God with every aspect of our being, as we were thinking about this morning? Am I holding things back that rightfully belong to him? Maybe there's only so much time and effort and money and commitment that I am prepared to give to the Lord Jesus. What about your bodies, your desires and your appetites, your mind and your thoughts and your ambitions? What about your energies and your gifts and your desires? Are they being employed for his glory? Because you were made by him and for him, for his glory. He is the goal of his creation, and he should be the goal of our lives. The Lord Jesus owns all that we have. It rightfully belongs to him. Let's think about how that might apply in our everyday life for a moment. If the Lord Jesus Christ has given you lots of time as a retired person, are you using that time for his glory? If the Lord Jesus has given you a good brain, are you using it to think about and to explain his greatness? Perhaps some of you are pretty well off and you have many blessings materially. These are gifts from the Lord Jesus. Maybe you've got a lovely home. Well, we can ask the question, are you using your gifts, your material gifts, your home, for hospitality and for gospel work? It's being given by him for his glory. And consequently, if the Lord has given you wealth, are you a good steward of the money that he has gifted you? And are you using it for kingdom work and kingdom purposes? And if the Lord Jesus has given you gifts of music and teaching and serving and hospitality and encouragement and administration, are you using them for his glory? Maybe you are artistic. Are you using those gifts that he has given you for his glory? Now, there is a flip side to this coin, of course. And that is that we can be in danger of thinking that it's more spiritual to get exhausted with endless church meetings and face burnout because of excessive church ministry. Are we caring for our bodies? Or are we getting increasingly exhausted and tired and weary and fatigued? Our bodies belong to him. We should care for them. Are we putting our priorities correct between church life and family life? Our families also belong to Christ, and they should not suffer from wrongly placed commitments. Tell me, are you finding enough time to enjoy good gifts? To rest and relax, to enjoy his wonderful creation and to praise him for it? All of this should be done for his glory. And so, as we embark on a new year, will I prayerfully resolve to live 2009 for Christ and for His glory? All things were created by Him and for Him. He is the goal of His creation. So He is our Creator, He is our goal, and thirdly, and briefly and shortly, He is the sustainer of His creation. Look with me at verse 17. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is before all things. Christ is before all things in the sense that He is the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning. When nothing existed, Christ was. He predates His creation. We've already looked at that this evening. And He is before all things in the sense that He has pride of place in the universe that He has made. Verse 18 says that He should have supremacy in all things. He is number one. He is the governor. He is the boss. He is the ultimate one that we have to give an account to. He has and should have supremacy. He is our great sustainer. Now, verse 17 says that in Him all things hold together, our sustainer and our Saviour. You know, the Lord Jesus is the full and the ultimate explanation of the world's continuance. Have you ever wondered, what on earth is it all about? Why are we here? Will the greenhouse effect finally finish us off? Will Iran and North Korea plunge that nuclear red button and wipe us all off the face of the earth? Will the worldwide economic downturn plunge millions into debt, unemployment, ruin, social disorder, and misery for years to come? My friends, we can be at peace tonight and in 2009. Christ is in control. He supremely rules over all things. All things hold together in Him. Nothing happens or will happen in this coming year outside of His sovereign control. He, the Lord Jesus, is the reason why life exists, and He is the power that keeps the universe together. He is the sustainer and the unifying principle of our universe. He sustains all things by His powerful word. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ overrules all things and works in all things? Let me show you this, and I'll finish with this. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. From one man He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Has that ever struck you before? He controls every aspect of His created world. And He even controls the course of your life. Did you notice that? He has determined when you should be conceived and when you should be born. Verse 26 says that He's determined the times set for us. He has permitted you life in 2009. It's by His will and purpose that you're here tonight. And we know also that I live in Kendal because Christ purposed it. He says so in verse 26. Why? Verse 27, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. I don't know if that struck you before, but the Lord Jesus, whether you like it or not, is intricately involved in your life and purposing all things for his glory and for his world. Turn with me finally to Psalm 33. We've just seen that the Lord Jesus is involved and controls and purposes the events of our individual lives. But what about the world in which we live? Psalm 33 and verse 10 and 11. Did you realize that Christ is in control of his universe and his history? This belongs to him. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. That's a tremendous comfort for us in this mad, crazy, sin-sick world. Christ is in control. Great news for us. He is the world's sustainer. And so the Lord Jesus is sovereign over his world, and with great kindness and mercy provides mankind with all that is required for life. Why? So that, because God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is merciful, and he will extend the world in which we live until all have been gathered in. So this evening, my friends, Christ is in control. He is at the helm of his universe. He is totally and utterly in control, and therefore we can take comfort tonight. And so by conclusion, my three headings, we have seen that the Lord Jesus is Lord over his creation. He is creator, he is the goal of his creation, and he is creation's sustainer. So let's finish on this. Let's say those three things together, just see if you remember them. Okay? Three times. So we've got creator, goal, sustainer. Creator, goal, sustainer. Creator, goal, sustainer. Praise his name. Thank you for listening so very well. Let's pray and ask the Lord for his help. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have exalted your Son to your right hand. Thank you, Father, that he rules over our universe. And thank you that he will do so until he returns. Father, please help us to see that your Son, Jesus, is Lord, that he is our Creator, that he is the goal of his universe, and that he is the sustainer of the world in which we live. And Father, this year, please help us to bow to his lordship, bringing every aspect of our lives under his kingly rule and influence. In Jesus' name, amen.